Good morning, everyone. Colleen, thank you for welcoming us and starting us out. We are we're gathered last Sunday before we turn to our Advent season, and we celebrate today Christ the King, or Reign of Christ, whichever Sunday you would like. This is kind of one of those, you know, pivotal turning of the corner. It's like at home, do you change your smoke detector batteries on a regular basis and stuff? I actually went through all of the batteries on all my stuff, gave away all of my old dead batteries free of charge. Never mind. By way of announcements, next Saturday we will do Hanging of the Greens, 10 o'clock here. Some of the volunteers in the church have been working to work on the wreaths already, and so it looks, sounds like we're going to have some rejuvenated wreaths and other things. So it looks like it's going to be an interesting and fun gathering. If you can come and join us, we'd certainly love to have you. We need your help and value your input. Other things for the good of the order? I can't think of anything else. Paya, do you have anything for the good of the order this morning? Okay. All right. How about anyone else? Anything else by way of announcements? All right. I don't see any. We're kind of slow coming in. Snow and the weather and just a relaxed Sunday morning. But let's gather with the Lord, shall we? Stand up, wave hello. Let's turn to our call to worship. Peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning, the call to worship. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given me in Christ Jesus. For every way I have been enriched in him, in speech, knowledge, and every kind. The testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen
to the end
so that I may be blameless
on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
God is faithful.
By him we are called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
So our first hymn today comes from the Faith We Sing book, found on page 2146, His Eyes on the Sparrow, or follow on the screen.
Trouble, the tender word I hear.
resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Oh, by the path he needed, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know.
Scripture today is Acts 22:3-17. I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, educated strictly according to our ancestral law, being zealous of God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted Christians up to the point of death by binding both men and women and putting them in prison. As the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me, from them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I went there in order to bind those who were there and bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. While I was on my way and approaching Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone upon me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" Then he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I asked, 'What am I to do, Lord?' The Lord said to me, 'Get up and go to Damascus. There you will be told everything that has been assigned to you to do.' Since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took my hand and led me to Damascus. A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law and well spoken by all the Jews living there, came to me, and standing beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour, I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to become his will to see the righteous one and to hear his own voice. For you will be the witness to all the world of what have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That's it.
So we've gotten a couple of prayers. Besides the prayers on the back of the bulletin, we've received news. Melba is not here. She has COVID. News to me as of this morning. Tom said Dawn is not here because she is home. No COVID, but she has the flu. Okay. And more alarming, Steve Boyles was found unconscious and has been taken to the hospital. And so, Steve Boyles. So we're concerned. It is, I just need to make sure that we're all thinking about the fact that this is flu season, and it would be better not to share. This is the sharing season, but not for that. So be aware, be conscious. We don't share that any more than we have to, but also, yeah, aware of Steve and others' concerns. Do you have other concerns before the body this morning as we come and gather, other prayers? I don't see any. We are grateful. We're grateful for the Lord who is with those who are ailing. By way of celebrations, do any of you have anything that you would like to celebrate before I turn to the birthday and anniversary list? I have to tell you some good news and bad news. When I came to Burns, there was a snowblower in the shed. That was good news. Bad news is it didn't run. Good news is I took it home over the summer and got it all running, and new tires were donated, and I had it running fine. The bad news is that winter it did not run worth a doggone. The good news is some volunteers came forward and purchased a new-to-us used snowblower. Amen? Yeah. Good news, and it worked fine. The bad news, Richard went out to snowblow after this last storm, and it wouldn't start. The good news is Richard shoveled all the walks. Thank you, Richard. Say a prayer of good news for the snowblower. Let's see what we can do about that. By way of celebrations, to Debbie Burns, who is her birthday today. Happy birthday to her. I hope we have cake and celebrations and singing and lots of carrying on for your birthday, honoring you. This coming week, Wayne Short has a birthday. I don't know how many years young he is. And then there's no one else till the 3rd of December. Pardon me? Oh, Connor. Connor will be 28 on Thursday. Happy birthday, Connor. Didn't have you on the list, but now you're on my list, brother. So, next Sunday, December 3rd, is a way off. Isn't that next Sunday? Is that right? So we will lift all of those this coming week. It's so easy to get confused. Last week we thought that we were ready to start hanging in the greens, and we delayed a week because we lost a whole week in there somewhere. I don't know how that happened, but we celebrate that we have that extra week, and it is among us. Are there any other prayers of celebration or concern? Our organist, Barbara Shaw, is traveling, so prayers for her. And celebrations for her, concerns for us. We miss her, but celebrations for us, we have Colleen Blake, who is an able and competent and gifted musician. Anything else for the good of the order as we're gathering? Michael, next to you, there's a young woman. I believe her name is Pia Kelamini, has a prayer there.
I nearly forgot to thank you all for prayers for Lucy and Neil's grandson in Australia who was hit by a car crossing the street. He had a 7-hour surgery Friday, which is Saturday in Australia, and he came out with it great, and God is good.
Amen, amen. Ahi, Tolotau. He is a Tolotau, right?
Yes.
Tony's, yeah. 7-hour surgery, hit traffic.
He is 7.
He is 7 years old? 7-year-old. Thank you for that. Okay. Any others? We don't need to rush. Let's join together in our unison prayer. You see it on the screen or in your bulletin. Let us read responsively. Lord God, gather us into your loving arms, especially those who are hurting. Lord God, guide us and inspire us, comfort and unsettle us, teach us and reassure us. We come with celebrations and concerns. We come in worship. Forgive us for the times we have failed to be your obedient ones. Teach us how to grow in our faithfulness. Teach us how to share your love with everyone we meet through our actions and our love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord, Almighty Creator, Giver of life, ever-present companion, we give you thanks this morning as we come and gather. We give you thanks for the Thanksgiving which we have celebrated and for looking forward to the Advent season in preparation for Christmas. As we come and gather in this season, we are celebrating the gifts given to us, gifts and graces that you have bestowed upon us, gifts that we are able to accomplish, and the opportunity to offer gifts to one another in remembrance and recognition and care and love. As we come and gather, we offer up concerns before you. You've heard those names we've listed. We also lift those whose name we don't know but who are suffering from debilitations of war and privation, hunger, thirst. For all of the atrocities, Lord, we give them to you because they are too abhorrent for us to comprehend. Lord, we ask your guidance on how we can be present and not ignore the world around us. Be with the peacemakers. Guide us to be among that body. And as we come and celebrate, Lord, we lift up those milestones, those achievements, those birthdays, those times of remembrance. And as we come into a season of remembrances, we ask that you keep us mindful of the saints who have gone before us and the gifts that they have given to us, especially the teachers, especially those who have been patient with us, and of course, mostly of Jesus Christ, who guides us and inspires us and leads us and loves us. Lord God, guide us that we might be able to be the people that follow and love one another as we have been loved. Lord, we come and gather this morning, and we gather together with people around the world with the Lord's Prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, this is United Methodist Student Day. We take one Sunday out of the year to try and offer gifts to people who might be able to be in service through our United Methodist Church, our United Methodist universities and seminaries. And we sponsor and support those who are especially in need. So along with your regular offering, which you have been gracious to share with the church, we ask that you might consider giving to the UMC Student Fund. Ms. Colleen has an offertory to share with us.
Please stand if you are able. The scripture today is Luke 17, 11 through 19. In the Pew Bible, New Testament, number page 75. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Why not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Come on, Stephanie. I don't know how many kids you got to help you. Come on, Hadley. An accomplished state competitive gymnast assisting there. So we're very proud. And you alone, our VBS video. A little bit of aerobics. If you are following along at home, I want you up off your couches or easy chairs.
Give me faith and I will put my hope in.
Amen. Hey. Thank you. You'll see them on Dancing with the Stars later. Is it Dancing with the Stars? Is that Dancing with Stars, or is that because you get stars from getting ready to pass out? I probably told you this story before. True story. In 1990, I was a senior at ILF, and we had the opportunity to travel with a mission team. We traveled to Haiti. Most people call it Haiti. They pronounce it Haiti. Say that with me once. Haiti. Doesn't it just roll off your tongue? Mm-hmm. But in Haiti, it had been a brutal time. They were in the middle of an overflow. It was one of the revolutions that had occurred, and the country continues to struggle. But starting in about 1959, they had a dictator by the name of Papa Doc Duvalier. When he brought order to the nation through terror, he had what was called the Tonton Macoutes. Tonton Macoutes literally translates as Uncle Gunny Sack. If you had a little kid and they were misbehaving, you would tell him, you better behave or Uncle Gunny Sack will come and throw you in his gunny sack and take you away in the night. Keep kids in line with this thoughts of this terrorist Uncle Gunny Sack. Unfortunately, the Tonton Macoutes were real. It was a private army that Duvalier had. And they would come. Anyone that spoke out, they would come at night, take people away, and you would never see them again. It was evil, it was awful, it was terrible, it was fearsome. It was brutal enforcement through a dictator. I bring this up because we're talking about Saul. You heard Tom read this morning, Saul, who will become renamed Paul. He was that boogeyman to the Christians. They knew of him. They knew of his reputation. He was breathing threats and murder against the people of the way. According to the book of Acts, that's what Christianity was called as it was still formulating and finding out what it was. It was the way. Let's all go to the group. Well, how? What is the name? Well, it's the way. The way of being Christians. I don't know. But Saul goes out of his way to get a special letter authorizing him to persecute Christians. And he admitted in the text that we heard, I persecuted Christians up to the point of death by binding both men and women. So this is Saul. And boy, was he invested in what he did. He was good at it. But then we read the other scripture, the road to Damascus, Paul's encounter with a bright light. He tells there's two versions of this if you ever want to kind of play around, Acts 9 and Acts 22. Both have his versions of what occurred. But he says he saw a bright light and he heard a voice. And in one of the two versions, the men around him hear the voice, but they don't say anything. And the other version, they see the bright light, but they don't hear anything. It's hard to tell what's going on there. I might question whether they heard or saw anything except for Paul. But Paul experienced something there. And it took this determined, type A, super personality and turned him. He turned from a rabid anti-Christian to the Paul of the New Testament, the Paul the Evangelist, the great Paul. A little bit of an aside there. We sometimes hear about criminals who have done atrocious things. Paul had done atrocious things. And if he were charged and persecuted, would not it be possible that we might seek the death penalty for some of his abuses? And yet Paul was transformed. And if God can transform Paul, God can transform anyone. Amen? You'll know this, that I am not in favor of the death penalty. So, what is this thing, conversion, all about? We hear about it in this version from Paul, but it actually came out of the story in the New Testament of the gospel. The 10 lepers. Let's examine this a little bit, shall we, together? Jesus is traveling through a region. He didn't have to go through there, but he's traveling through this region, and he heals the 10 lepers. They seek him out. Was this one of those cases of, well, we've heard he's a healer. No harm in at least asking and pleading for it. Keep in mind, these are lepers. And if you had leprosy in that time and age, you were required to stay away from people. And if anyone started to come near, you would shout, unclean, unclean, so they would know to keep their distance. So not only was it kind of like avoiding each other in the COVID season, but you were removed from social interaction, from familial interaction, from worship, from all of the other things in life. You were a non-person. You were an outcast. And so some of them, at least one of them, was a Samaritan. And this is an interesting piece, is it not? Samaritans were those outcast people that good Jews do not associate with Samaritans. We know all about that. And some of them, at least one, is a Samaritan. And they come and they say, Lord, heal us. And he responds, interestingly, by saying, go and show yourself to the priests. Now, Samaritans would never go to priests, and priests would never have anything to do with Samaritans. So that in itself is just amazing and intriguing. Think about that. I mean, it would be like sending a Christian who is in needing of Christian learning and healing, and sending them to an Arab imam, a Muslim imam. It's just a whole crossing of everything. It's just all confused. What do the priests do? We never hear that because it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it because, you see, he says, as they went, they were clean. As they responded to Christ's directive, they were made clean. It is Christ who does the cleaning, cleansing, healing, restoring to right community. So a little time passes, and the one who we know to be a Samaritan returns, and Jesus says, where's the other nine? Weren't there nine of you a minute ago? I thought, and weren't nine of you healed? What? Just the one has returned. But he has changed. And he, a Samaritan, is healed of his disease. Did Jesus heal him? He makes a statement. He said to the Samaritan, your faith has made you well. Your faith has done this. Your believing has cleansed you. So all this comes out of Christ the King Sunday. This is the Sunday for today. Some call it Reign of Christ, but there's a little bit of warlike connotations to reign and all of that. I guess there is to king too, but Christ the King has a better feel for it, if you will. In my opinion, you can do with that as you like. And it's a day for us to think about our allegiance to Jesus and acknowledge him as the Christ. Don't you wish sometimes, especially today as we're watching everything happen in the world, don't you wish that you could take some of these non-believers and people doing atrocious things and blinding light and knock them to the ground and leave them blinded and converted? Why doesn't Christ just step in and just clean things up? That would be a conquest by force. And Christ is not about conquest by force. In fact, he says, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. It is in his account with the lepers, he says, your faith has made you well. Forcing it on someone isn't going to work, but how about this thing with Paul? You see, my thesis is that we can only be changed when we make that decision internally, not by force, not through coercion, but we give our allegiance to the Lord from our heart. And that is what Christ is about, not conquering the world. This world is not the Garden of Eden. This world is a tough world. There are awful things that happen here. And yet, turning to Christ through faith is our destination, our journey. But what about Paul? Didn't Jesus force him to change? I pondered that. I've been pondering that all week and going round and round in circles about it, but I think all Jesus did was get Paul's attention. If you read carefully, there's a blinding light. He's knocked to the ground. Some say pictures of the time, paintings, show him being knocked off of a horse, and he's laying on the ground blinded, and he hears a voice. It simply got his attention. It was not until later when he's in the house of Ananias, and he's there, and he's blinded, and he's hearing the voice, why are you persecuting me, Paul? What's your deal against me? Well, who are you? I am Jesus of the Christian of the way. And it gets Paul's attention, and he changes. Christ doesn't change him. And Paul could have said, well, fooey on you, I'm a good Jew, a member of Jewish persecution, and I'm not going to listen. That's called free will. But Paul responds. Jesus just got his attention. So the question is, what will get our attention today? What drastic things need to happen to bear fruit? The hymn for ending is Let There Be Peace, number 431. If you'll stand, and Mark, if you'd be so kind as to come and help lead.
Colleen.
Thank you.
Last Sunday before we turn to Advent, the livery here will be changed. Our gathering and place will be changed. Our hymns will begin to reflect our moving on to Christmas. But on this last Sunday, acknowledge the King, Christ, who is the One. In God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we be changed through our association. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's join hands if we can and sing our closing. People said,
Amen. Amen.